The love and compassion in Mount Calvary never ends. I walked in on Monday night. Vicki had brought in that. She says, oh, you got to see this. You got to see this, you know. It is such a wonderful treasure to have people to come to church. Just be yourself. If there is one thing that I can impart to you, God knows you. You're not going to pull anything over on him. You think that you're going to act one way here and be yourself because he knows. Sometimes I know in my life I've made mistakes, huge mistakes, done things. Even in church, I've offended people without knowledge, not with intent, but just something was said and maybe it was taken the wrong way. Say you're sorry. A whole lot of things in your life can be broken down to the things that you learned back in kindergarten, right? The things you learned in grade school, the things you learned when you're in the playground with other children. Be yourself. Don't be afraid to let your emotions shine through. Don't be afraid when God lays something upon your heart. And God may lay something just glorious upon your heart. A thrill that I walked in today and boy, there was a playwright who was in here early, and she was handing out all kind of stuff. And my name was, I was volunteered before I even read the first line over there like that. I went down and saw other guys' names on there. Mike White was the sharp one, because when it got to him, he changed the subject and ran the other way. It's the kind of guy he is. I need to learn from him. Don't be afraid of sharing in what God is dealing with you. It may be a struggle. It may be an issue. It may be something that, wow, sometimes you just gotta talk it out. Sometimes you just need to hear the words. But I assure you, that you're not going to deal with anything that God does not already know about and who already has the answer for your situation. I'm so moved when I get little gifts like that, just little things that we're able to kind of have fun with each other. And because a lot of times it's not like that. A lot of times some of the things we have to deal with are very serious and they're just not fair, it seems. But God in his wisdom, he knows. Last Sunday, as I stood in the front and I heard each person talking about the things that they were thankful for, I was so moved. Because so many of the comments were about this church and the folks here. So I thought what I'd do is in just a moment, I'm going to tell you what I am the most thankful for. Two set of scriptures I'm going to read very quickly in Matthew in the 13th chapter in the 44th verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man has found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price went and sold all that he had and bought it. Then I'm moving over into the book of St. Luke. I'm in the 12th chapter. And I'm reading all the way down in the 32nd verse. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I want to read that line again. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves with money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Heavenly Father, for just a moment, allow us to just open our hearts and minds, receive that which you have for us, each one as individuals. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. All God's people said amen. 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 I am thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. First and foremost. So many times when people come to churches, they hear sermons and they came in expecting one thing, and they may hear what they want to hear. God may speak to their hearts. Or trust me, sometimes they walk in, they've already got their minds made up. I believe that God wants to soften every heart. I believe that I serve a loving God who wants warmth and tenderness. But as you well know, there are people who are not in that mode. The people just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's okay. There will be a time in their life where God's Holy Spirit will speak to them and will start to tenderize. Will start to break down some bonds, no matter what has happened in their life, no matter what event has gone on that has brought such anger, such hardness of heart. And I believe if you have the opportunity to come to a church that is warm and caring and understanding, not that has everything right, not that does all the songs according to the schedule, not that does everything, and there's no mistakes, we have some people get up and actually speak out of turn. Oh my. Oh my, oh my. It's okay. Give me warmth and give me compassion. That's what I want to feel from brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't really have to stand up too long and start to tell me the things that I have done wrong. Number one, I know them. Number two, you'll be there a long time. You may need to bring a lunch, dinner, Christmas breakfast. But I'm here to tell you that God knows your heart. The thing that I am most thankful for, that I am simply a sinner saved by grace. There are two parts to this wonderful thing we call Christianity. The first part is that you hear the call of God. He speaks to your heart. The Holy Spirit starts to work on you. And hopefully, at some time in your life, you've called out to him and just say, God, save me. Save me. Back in the old days, you used to have invitations. You'd have people come down the aisle. People would kneel and they'd pray with you. I've seen sometimes in churches where they fill out little cards like that. Have you made a decision? And you put a little check mark and all like that. I don't know what's best for you. I know if you ask Terry Lee and Jennifer, they can tell you how. What's his name?
Joel Osteen.
They can tell you how. They can tell you how Joel Osteen does it. But you are the only one that can fully know your relationship with Christ. Amen, amen, amen. First of all, he has given us this wonderful gift. It says here in this verse, for it is your Father's good pleasure, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants the best for you. Bless them as they're on the way out there, those emergency vehicles. God's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom of heaven. He only wants you to accept it. Once you've done that, I believe it'll change your life. I know because it's changed mine. Have I always done the things that I wish I had have done? No. Have I always been the man that I thought I should be? No. Have I failed? Yes. But I'm here to say that if I went to each one of you as an individual, that you could make that same testimony. But I'm here to tell you that he still loves you. He still cares for you. He never gives up on you. Once you start to understand what God's grace is all about. Back in the Old Testament, they used to talk about the steadfast love of God. The steadfast love of God. In the New Testament, they simply talk about grace, warmth, caring, understanding. That someone would love you so much that he would send his son to die upon a cross for you. Then you begin your Christian walk. And you start to say, how can I live a more successful life in Christ? And it is a challenge. Some of you, you know, some of us waited a little long time before we made decisions for Christ. And we got a lot of history. And we're so easily in our mind to bring up all that old history, all that old history, all that old history. When God wants to work a new work in you. I read this, a little list of things. And the writer on this wrote that if we would take the Lord's perspective in what a successful life should be, he says, I'm going to list some items. First of all, decisions. You have to know the truth and you got to accept it. Just because that you don't believe in it, doesn't mean that it's not true. And I'm here to tell you everything in this book that I have opened in front of me is true. Servanthood, we must find a need and fulfill it. The happiest people that I know are serving someone else. Determination, we must face a challenge and meet it. Sacrifice, we must lose our life to find it. Preparation, we must develop a plan and follow it. Action, we must discover God's will and obey it. A gift, we must find our talent and share it. Can you imagine these great musicians that we have if they didn't share their talents? Look at the blessing we all receive when people are playing and people are singing, or people are using smiles and they're using handshakes. They're using whatever talent God has given you for the benefit of others. In doing so, we start to see the glory of God. And finally, durability. We must be tenacious and finish well. Now, when I say that word tenacious, Vicky always smiles because she knows that's another one I'm going to tell the choir. I'm going to get that. Because when you come to one of our choir practices, she's there and she's just, when you look up the dictionary, tenacious, you will see her picture right there. It's a little thing in a block right there. She's got it there. Because she has in her mind, I think that we have more talent than what we have. But I can't convince her otherwise. Every time we go to practice this Christmas cantata, I say, that thing's going to be good. We're going to have it down by Easter. And she looks at me and she goes, in 2 weeks, Charlie, in 2 weeks. Sometimes you need somebody else to believe in you. When you have a hard time believing in yourself. It says in God's word to share one another's burdens. And sometimes those burdens come in the form of doubts, of challenges. I love encouragers. The thing that I've been most thankful for here at Mount Calvary is I am saved. If you have any doubts about that, you come talk. You pull me to the side. You say, Charlie, we got to talk about this thing. I'm not quite sure. And we'll sit down and we'll pray. And we'll just talk it out. If it's Charles Simmons, we will talk for months and months about a subject. And at some point, God will speak. Probably nothing through what I say. It'll probably be something else. It'll just trigger something in your heart. The other thing I like about this church is the freedom that I feel here. The freedom that people can come in, they can be themselves, and they can share what God is doing for them in their lives. Struggles. And I hope that we can be encouraging one to another. I talked to Marvin last week, and he was telling me about the wonderful trip that the kids were taking down to Dallas to go watch the game in person. He says, that's just going to leave the two of us here. That's okay. I talked to Mike and Debbie, and they said, oh, the kids were here and there and all like that. And it just left the two of us here. That's okay. Because God in His wisdom, God in His great plan, has all the little pieces worked out. Some folks went out to Bob Evans and they saw some other folks and tapped them on the shoulder and said, hey, look at the way that God has brought us here together on His time. I like to be encouraged to, an encouragement to each one of you. As each one of you has been an encouragement to me. At that ball game they had on Thursday, and I did the same thing. I watched some of the game late in the afternoon. I'm reminded about how real encouragement works. In 1977 at the Super Bowl, there was a referee, he's retired now, his name is Jim Tooney. And John Madden was the coach at that time, and before the game he called him over and he said, Jim, I'm so glad that you are refereeing this game today. He says, myself and my staff, all the coaches and players on my team consider you to be the second best referee in the whole league. He thanked him, he went on, and before the kickoff, the curiosity got the best of him. He came back to Coach Madden. He says, Coach, he says, now, I'm the second best, but who is the best? And he said, well, he says, it's a tie between the 89 other referees in the league. That's the way encouragement should go. Now you're going to say, how does that mean? Well, it's like this. God is going to find a way that you receive exactly what you need at the proper time. Coach Madden, he said that he never laughed so hard out of telling that line. And he said Jim had the biggest laugh that he'd had all season long as they went out to play the game. Sometimes you're going to need people to pray with you. Sometimes you're going to need people to laugh with you. Sometimes you're going to need people just to simply listen to you. And sometimes, because God gave us two ears and one mouth, you're going to have to do the listening. I believe that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. I believe that I'm inspired when I see Pastor John walking on a Sunday morning. They haven't seen him in a while. I'm inspired. When I see people who are facing challenges and they make that effort to be here on a Sunday morning, I'm inspired about what God is able to do. In 1969, the Eagle landed on the moon. They call that base tranquility. It is said that that landing took place with only 11 seconds of fuel left. Do you realize that the computer capacity for that landing on the moon in 1969 was less than what you have in a brand new car that they sell today? And I guess it was their way of saying it's going to be all right, because they call the place of landing Tranquility, base Tranquility. It's the same thing that you find in the ocean. In the ocean, they say if you go down 25 feet, that the waters are calm. Doesn't matter how ravaging the storm is on the sea, doesn't matter how hard the wind's blowing, when you go down 25 feet, it's calm. When you dig down deep, it's calm. When you open this word and you dig down deep, you're going to find tranquility. When you stop being governed by what's going on the surface, when you stop letting your emotions just run away with you and you just get serious with God, you will find the tranquility that I believe He has for each and every one of us. I want to finish by telling you, thank you for being the best congregation that I have preached to today. I'm going to work on my mustache moving as quickly as that little doll does. When I get that done, I'll let you know. I want to thank you for this wonderful Thanksgiving season and how warm you've made this church. Heavenly Father, we've gathered in your house, and Heavenly Father, we've opened your word. We've shared from the heart things that God may have spoken to just one individual. So Heavenly Father, we ask at this time that you allow us to take a look inside, to consider our relationship with you and how you are using us to serve others. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the families represented today. We thank you for the wonderful praises that we heard. And Heavenly Father, allow us to be servants of you. Now give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this building. Let us take the love of God that we feel, the fellowship that we feel, and your Holy Spirit wherever we go. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said amen.